Hello, world. Do you like communism? How about monkeys? Have you been feeling bad because all your friends are talking about 20th century Mexican folk art and you're feeling left out? Don't worry, babes, I got you covered. As always, my name is Mary Jane, and this is her story. Today, in celebration of the upcoming Dia de los Muertos, I thought we should take a look at perhaps the most well-recognized and iconic woman in Mexican history. Usually, when you think of ofrendas on Dia de los Muertos, you imagine elegant skeletons of La Catrina, marigold flowers, photographs of loved ones past, and lots of food. Admittedly, when I was researching all this, I was really surprised to see so many offerings to Frida Kahlo. In fact, she is everywhere when it comes to celebrations of Mexico's rich culture. So I thought, why not? If you don't know who Frida Kahlo is, this episode is for you. If you've seen like 3 of her paintings in a museum or in your high school Spanish classroom, this is for you. Si crees que el arte de Latinoamérica y los indígenas necesita más reconocimiento, este capítulo es para ti. Because not only was Frida an incredible painter, she was an outspoken activist and quite the romancer. With a huge cult following today, it's a bit surprising to find out her work wasn't widely acclaimed until after her death. But more on that later. We have got a lot to cover and the clock is ticking until the caffeine drains out of my system, so grab your exotic pets and strap in, because we are heading into surrealist territory. Frida Kahlo was born July 6th, 1907, in Coyoacán, one of 16 boroughs in Mexico City. And if you don't know where Mexico City is, I really can't help you. Her father was a German photographer and her mother was half indigenous and half Spanish. Frida grew up with her 3 sisters in the family home, later referred to as the Blue House or Casa Azul. For anyone wondering, the house is, in fact, blue. Another common point in these stories, Frida Kahlo wasn't actually her birth name. She was born Magdalena Carmen Frida Kahlo y Calderón. Frida's life would be marked from an early age by injury and sickness. At only 6 years old, she was bedridden for 9 months after she contracted polio, which made her right leg and foot grow thinner than her left, causing a limp she often hid under long skirts. Her father encouraged her towards sports to build up her strength. Frida was a swimmer, played soccer, and even did wrestling. In 1922, at age 15, Frida attended the prestigious National Preparatory School in Mexico City, gaining a reputation among her 34 classmates for her bravery and bold opinions. At a young age, Frida helped her father in his photography studio, but she was more interested in science and eventually studying medicine. In a wild bit of foreshadowing, Frida would run into her future husband there. Here at school, Diego Rivera was painting a mural at her school, and Frida would often come to watch him. She once even told a friend that she was going to marry Rivera one day. Frida became involved with a group of young, politically-minded students led by Alejandro Gomez Arias, whom she fell in love with. It was in September, while on the bus with Alejandro, that Frida would be injured in an accident that would affect the rest of her life. The bus crashed into a streetcar, and the steel handrail impaled her through the hip. Her spine and pelvis were also fractured. Her injuries were so serious, she would have to have over 30 surgeries in her lifetime, and the pain would affect her forever. Frida spent weeks at the Red Cross hospital before being transferred home, having to wear a full body cast for 3 months. Her parents, especially her father, encouraged her to paint to ease the time in her cast, buying brushes and paint and even getting a special easel for her. Frida finished her first self-portrait the following year. She is actually well known for her self-portraits, which became a method of expression in her search to balance her multi-ethnic identity and the constant physical and mental pain she had to live with. Frida eventually joined the Mexican Communist Party in 1928, where she reconnected with Diego Rivera. He was very encouraging of her continuing to paint, and the pair began a romance. Despite protests from Frida's very pious mother, the couple married in 1929. Frida was 22 years old, and Diego was 20 years her senior. Nope, don't like that. No, thank you. We're done. We're not done, but... Lots of art historians have actually seen this marriage as a change in Frida's dress and painting style. This is when we see the evolution of her iconic trademark style, traditional Tehuan dress. This shows up a lot in her self-portraits and photographs of her. You can think of it as the flower crown in her hair, loose blouse and ruffled skirt, along with gold jewelry. An interest in Mexican folk art would become an important feature in her artwork, seen in her 1931 painting, Frida and Diego Rivera, which shows her with much darker skin than any of her previous self-portraits, embodying the demure and traditional Mexican wife she believed Diego wanted. Soon after they were married, Frida and Diego started moving around a lot for his work. They lived in San Francisco, New York, and Detroit, where Diego was hired to paint murals between 1930 and 33. Frida continued painting as her art began incorporating more realism and surrealism. During this time, Frida painted perhaps two of her most intensely personal and very taboo works. Henry Ford Hospital in 1932 represented her struggles through several miscarriages throughout her life. The tram accident injuries prevented her from ever being able to carry a child, something Frida was very affected by. She was actually really close with her doctor, Leo Eliezer, who she frequently wrote to and even called her best friend. Frida had several miscarriages and one abortion due to risks of her health. Because of this, Diego ordered the letters between Leo and Frida to be locked away and not opened until 15 years after his death. Several of his patrons, fearing the couple's image would be in great danger, locked the letters away in a trunk in a bathroom behind the wall of Frida's house. And the letters weren't discovered until 2004 and were published in a bilingual book, My Beloved Doctor, because that's how she opened each letter. Doctorcito Querido. Her most controversial painting may be My Birth in 1932, which shows a shrouded woman giving birth, which, very taboo, just birth and whatever. Very conservative culture in the 20th century being hit by these kind of radical, politically minded artists. So lots of clash and lots of cultural shifting, which is what makes this period so interesting to learn about. In addition to several harrowing pregnancies, Frida painted these after rushing home to her mother's bedside as she died of breast cancer. So, yeah, the 1930s, a little stressful. Frida and Diego moved back to Mexico City in 1933 after a mural Diego painted in the Rockefeller Center was painted over because he included Vladimir Lenin in the work. Communism, not a friend to America's captains of industry. You may have caught on already, but Diego and Frida's marriage was unusual? Unique? When they both returned to Mexico in 1933, they lived in separate houses and kept different studios. They had a bridge connecting the separate homes, and the house actually still stands today. The pair were also notoriously not faithful to each other, which started early on with Diego. He had been married twice already with several children by the time he met Frida and was a notorious womanizer. Likely, his first affair started within a year of marrying Frida. Apparently, a doctor had told Diego he was biologically predisposed to never be monogamous, and Diego just took the diagnosis and ran with it. Perhaps his most notorious affair would be with Frida's own sister, Christina. No. Guys, okay, last time we did an episode of about this year, we did a Halloween episode. It was about Mary Shelley, and her husband also probably had an affair with Mary Shelley's sister. So I don't know what kind of like common track we're getting onto here, but that is a no. No, thank you. No. Understandably, Frida was so betrayed by this that she chopped off her long hair as a sign of her fury and despair. With this, it's no surprise that Frida had her own affairs, which were almost as renowned as her paintings. In 1937, Frida and Diego hosted Leon Trotsky and his wife Natalia. If you know anything about Stalin or have ever had to read Animal Farm in middle school, you may know Trotsky as one of Vladimir Lenin's proteges. He was a prominent communist in the Soviet Union and was exiled by Stalin and was constantly in danger of assassination. The Trotskys at Casa Azul rent-free for 2 years because he was such a big deal. Diego's loyalty to Trotsky is actually what alienated him from Mexico's Communist Party, which Diego had served as a delegate to the Soviet Union with. During his stay in Casa Azul, Frida and Trotsky had an affair. By the way, guys, Trotsky is like old at this point. Trotsky, like most men in the story, I guess, liked pretty girls, and Frida liked his intelligence and stature. He would slip her note in front of his wife, not exactly subtle, and speak English, which she did not understand. Eventually, his wife caught on. No way! The affair wasn't very long, and Frida often referred to him as the old man. Some speculate the affair was in part to get back at Diego for sleeping with her sister. And when he moved out of Casa Azul, Trotsky left the portrait Frida had made for him behind. Trotsky was eventually assassinated in 1940 by a Soviet agent who killed him with an ice pick. Ugh. Funny story, actually. Well, that's a bit of a turn. But funny story. When we were reading Animal Farm in middle school, we had to do all this research on Trotsky, because why not? And I thought someone stabbed him. When they said ice pick, I thought someone stabbed him with an icicle. So until I was doing research on this, I thought he was stabbed with an icicle in the middle of Mexico City. Which, is that logical? No. Am I a little disappointed it was an ice pick? Maybe. Frida spent a month in New York with Heinz Bergermann, a Jewish-German man who escaped Germany pre-World War II. He worked with Diego in San Francisco, and the two shared an ability to communicate in French. After Frida returned to Diego, she and Heinz never saw each other again. Heinz eventually became an art dealer in France and always regretted never buying one of Frida's pieces. She is also rumored to have been involved with fellow surrealist and writer André Breton, a French communist who worked with Trotsky creating archives of revolutionary art. He and his wife escaped the Nazis in France in 1938, and in Mexico, André was a great fan of Frida's work and helped organize exhibitions of her paintings in New York and Paris. Imasu Noguchi was a famous artist in Mexico who was Japanese and Irish-American. Imasu and Frida had a passionate affair, nearly buying an apartment together, until Diego pulled up with a pistol demanding the romance to end. Apparently, they were still good friends until her death. Imasu himself went on to get his own museum in the 80s after being held prisoner of war in a Japanese relocation camp in Arizona during World War II. So, tough to be one of Frida's lovers, but apparently, Diego was only jealous of male lovers. Like, insanely jealous. But let's say it clearly. Frida Kahlo also had romances with women. No need to fake surprise. If you've ever seen one of her works, like Two Nudes in a Forest, you can start connecting the dots. And boy, are there a lot of dots to connect. Frida is rumored to have had an affair with renowned artist Georgia O'Keeffe. Movie stars like Dolores del Rio, Paulette Goddard, and Maria Felix. She may have also had an affair with the Josephine Baker while in Paris. The movie Frida, starring Salma Hayek, certainly alluded to it. Photographer Tina Marori, singer Chavela Vargas. And these are only the names I found. Like, there are... It's a good amount of affairs, let's say. Of course, there are still some limited sources to confirm all these, but still, neat. 1939 was a big year for Frida. She had her first she had an exhibition in New York and in Paris. Her painting, The Frame, was actually acquired by the Louvre, making her the first 20th century Mexican artist to be featured in the museum. That same year, she and Diego divorced after a lengthy separation. She also created perhaps her most iconic work, The Two Fridas. This painting showcased the two sides of her identity, European and Mexican descent. It's an important piece in understanding Mexican class systems, culture, the effects of colonialism, and Frida's own beliefs. In 1940, apparently because they just couldn't stay away from each other, Frida and Diego remarried and moved to Casa Azul. She started teaching at the Education Ministry School of Fine Arts, La Esmeralda. But her health was worsening, leading to several more surgeries and even the need to wear a painful back brace. And if you doubt she was really in this much pain, look at her painting, The Column, which shows her in the body brace with nails all over her skin as a symbol for her condition. So, yeah, painful. On top of all this, because apparently this woman cannot catch a break, parts of her foot and leg were amputated due to gangrene. And still, she continued to paint, writing, "Feet, what do I need you for when I have wings to fly?" Her first solo exhibition came in Mexico in 1953. She arrived via ambulance, celebrating the opening surrounded by attendees and artists in a bed especially set up for her in the gallery because she was literally bedridden, could not leave. Frida's last public appearance was actually attending a protest, so even on her deathbed, she's still being politically active. And the protest was actually against the United States' overthrow of democratically elected President Jacobo Arbenz in Guatemala on July 2nd. So there you go. Another little fun thing of imperialism there. And this was her last appearance. Vidacalo died in Casa Azul on July 13th, 1954, of pulmonary embolism, likely from pneumonia. And she had just turned 47 years old the week before. Some suspect that her death may have been a suicide due to her severe depression and reliance on alcohol and drugs to cope with the pain. Upon her death, Diego said, July 13th, 1954, was the most tragic day of my life. I lost my beloved Frida forever. Too late now, I realize that the most wonderful part of my life had been my love for Frida. When looking at other Diego Rivera quotes on his love for Frida, I can't help but mention that Diego himself said that Frida was the most obvious victim to his toxic habits of hurting the women he loves. He actually called it a disgusting trait in his own words, so he's aware, which is the first step, but still not good. By far, my favorite quote of him when it comes to Frida is this. I recommend her to you, not as a husband, but as an enthusiastic admirer of her work. Acid and tender, hard as steel and delicate as and fine as a butterfly's wings. Lovable as a beautiful smile, and as profound and cruel as the bitterness of life. Obviously, no words can immortalize Frida's work better than her own. I paint self-portraits because I'm so often alone, and because I am the person I know best. And my personal favorite, I tried to drown my sorrows, but the bastards learned how to swim. I feel so seen by her, and that's why I love so many of her works. It connects the brilliance of life with the strangeness and suffering that we all feel. After Frida's death, Diego made Casa Azul a museum about her life, and it's still open to the public today. She has been the subject of numerous exhibits, films, books, and has captured the imagination of anyone in the 21st century with what is now being called Frida Mania. She is an icon for those with disabilities and the LGBTQ+ community, as an openly bisexual woman in the 20th century, on top of being one of the greatest Mexican artists in history. No wonder she's everywhere on the ofrendas this time of year. And did I mention she loved animals? And when I say loved animals, as in kept chickens, sparrows, a peacock, parrots, parakeets, spider monkeys, dogs, a fawn, cat, turkeys, and an eagle named Gertrudis Caca Blanca, or Gertrude White Shit. Gotta love it. I mean, we're just so lucky to have so much of Frida's art be so well celebrated and preserved today. It was really fascinating for me to learn the details about her life and to understand how her joys and pain influenced her art. It gave me a new understanding of her work and how politics and culture influence the way we see the world and express our views to others. For all of those celebrating Halloween and Dia de los Muertos, I wish you a happy and safe coming week. At the very least, just Google some of Frida Kahlo's works before you join us next week for another woman who made her story.